Good morning. Love to be with you guys. I have a question for you. Have you ever felt that you just didn't belong? I felt that a number of times growing up. Some friends and I went out for the baseball team. Bunch of my friends made the majors. They got real uniforms, they got real socks, they got real pants, they got real professional-looking jerseys because they had real baseball skills. And if you were in the majors, you were the talk of the school. I made the minors. I didn't have real skills, and we wore jeans and t-shirts to play in. And nobody who was into minors would talk about their baseball team at school. Later on, end of my high school experience, I really wanted to go to this one college. And so I applied there, kind of expecting and hoping and just maybe, and I got back one thin envelope. One short letter. When I moved to our little town in Paradise, I was three. And so I went to preschool all the way through my senior year in high school, 15 years with the same kids. So we totally knew each other, and I felt like I belonged. And when I did go away to college, there were more students at the campus I went to than there were people, dogs, and chickens in the town I had come from. So I wasn't sure all the time that I felt like I belonged. That feeling of not belonging is very, very powerful and costly. Over the last 50 years, our culture has grown more prosperous. But our culture has also grown more individualistic. Even with social media, there are some important social connections that are dissolving all around us every day. They've been described very well in an article in the magazine called The Atlantic by an author called Emily Smith. She describes the price of this social disconnection. She writes, "We volunteer less. We entertain guests at our home less. We are getting married less. We're having fewer children. We have fewer close friends with whom we'd share intimate details. We are denying our social nature and paying a price. Our levels of happiness have gone down, while rates of suicide and depression have gone up." Ouch. Friends, do you know that there is now solid, scientific, medical research that shows that being a part of one or more loving groups can actually extend your life. Not being a part of a loving group can actually shorten your lifespan. I heard of a church that has a small group ministry. Their motto is, "Join a small group or die." That's what they're doing. Knowing that we belong. Super powerful. I remember those first days as a high school student. And if I would wear my football jersey to school, whoa, felt like I belonged. I remember early in high school in homecoming week, and somehow I got picked to be the guy that would open the door of the cars in the homecoming parade for the homecoming court. Now, I wasn't part of the homecoming court. I wasn't, you know, accompanying one of the homecoming princesses or any of that fancy stuff. Just the guy to open the doors. But when I stepped out there in a tuxedo, in front of a packed football stadium, and heard my name said over the public address system, and heard people cheer, oh my gosh, I felt like I belonged. Friends, there's something deep within us that needs to know that we belong. So if, like me, you've ever felt the weight of not belonging, this message is for you. If you've ever had a romantic relationship that ended in a way that you didn't really choose, if you've ever had a work environment situation that maybe came to an abrupt stop, if you've ever come to an event at sunrise, if you've ever walked onto this campus or come into this room and just kind of wondered, do I belong here? This message is for you. God has given Sunrise a vision statement. It is to follow Jesus Christ, to become, to belong, and to bless. And we spent a good chunk of time earlier in this year kind of unpacking that idea of become, looking through the lens of Hebrews at what Jesus Christ has done for us. We've been regenerated. We've been justified. We're being sanctified in an ongoing kind of way. We can become the kind of people that God meant for us to be. But inevitably, we do not live life, whether we're Christians or non-Christians, we don't live it in isolation. We live it in connection with other people. So we're taking a look at, in the next number of weeks and months, what does it mean to belong? To belong deeply to God. What does it mean that Jesus belongs to us? And what does it mean that we fundamentally belong to one another? Friends, we need this. Our culture drives us towards rampant individualism. It undercuts the development of spiritual community. Pastor Rich is fond of correctly saying that North American Christianity is often anemic, weak. The problem isn't that Jesus isn't being Jesus or the Bible isn't being the Bible. One of the problems, in my view, is that the church is so fragmented, so disconnected, that who we are in Christ, we seldom come together in Christ. As a product of our surrounding culture, even in the church, our social connections are being weakened. We are taught by our culture to expect to have things our way. We are taught to measure the success of an organization, a restaurant, a school, a bank, even the church, by how well they cater to our individual needs. Did you have fun? Seems to be the fundamental question in our culture. The Bible envisions church very differently. The Bible describes God as actually rescuing people through Jesus Christ and placing them in a group of people that are called the church. And the Bible describes God as giving each Christian in the church a gift to contribute to the life of the other Christians in the church. So the fundamental question is not, what can I get out of this? The fundamental question is, what have you and I been given by God to give away to other people? Have you ever given away someone else's money? It's really fun. I'm a pastor. I do this all the time. And you using your spiritual gift is a lot like that. You're giving away something that you didn't have to pay for, buy, or create. You have been given one or more spiritual gift, not just for you, but for other people. And as you give it away, you will experience joy. And other people will experience joy. And it will feel like you are worshiping God and loving people in a way that brings you fully alive. D.L. Moody was a 19th century evangelist. A friend of his said, "I believe I can be just as good a Christian without the church as with it." D.L. Moody said nothing. He approached a big fire that was in a fireplace in this home in Chicago, braving one of those brutal winters, and he pulled out one ember and he set it alone on the hearth. And they watched it go out. What was burning grew cold. What once gave light and heat now gave only smoke. In the church, as with a fire, the light, the heat are greater when we're together. So friends, this whole thing called the church, it got started on a particular day. Jesus had already ascended into heaven, and God poured out his Spirit. It's called the Day of Pentecost. It happened in the timing of a Jewish feast called Pentecost. It was God coming to his people, changing them, and sending them into the world. Peter preached, and God added about 3,000 to their number that day. And we find that story in the book of Acts. So if you have your scriptures with you, as I hope you do, would you go to Acts chapter 2? We're going to take a good look at what God wants us to know about belonging together. And friends, I want you to just see this very simple breakdown that comes from this record of the first church. And then let's think about your life and my life. and our own need for belonging today. It says we got to look in, we got to study the Bible. It says they devoted themselves. In Greek, it's proskartereo. They were steadfast. They were persistent. They were persevering in the apostles' teaching. Do you know at sunrise, scripture is center to what it means to be a part of a group, to what it means to belong. We don't belong apart from the Word. We belong under the Word. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." 2 Corinthians 2:15, Paul writes, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the Word of truth." That's what you and I are called to be. This book can keep you from sin, or this sin in our lives will keep you from this book. One of the marks of a true spiritual community is that we understand all of us to be under the Scriptures. I am under the Scriptures. Our elder board is under the Scriptures. We're all under the authority of the Scriptures. And you're going to hear the Word of God preached on Sundays at sunrise. But you know, this setting has some limitations. You can't ask a question. You can't contribute what you know or what you think or what you've learned. So in addition to this environment, you need to be a part of a small group environment that wrestles with the Bible for itself. You need to be in an environment of question and discovery, of doubt and application, because that's part of what it means to belong together. We study the Bible. Well, we also look with, we share meals. How does that sound for practicality? Does that sound good? You know, everyone has a spiritual gift. Mine might be eating, you know. They say, go with your strength, you know. I am good at that one. It says, they devoted themselves to fellowship. Koinonia. Koinos means common. It often described the mutuality that you would find in marriage. Koinonia is about what we share. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor and a World War II martyr. He wrote, "Christian brotherhood is not an ideal which we must realize. Christian brotherhood is a reality. It's created by God in Christ in which we may participate." We don't have to create this sense of brotherhood or belonging or unity or fellowship or community. It's created for us by God. And we participate in it. In the first century, they participated by breaking bread. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Sounds like they liked what they were eating. They liked what they were experiencing. One of the things I love about Sunrise is Sunrise Cafe. Debbie Schmidt and her team have done such an awesome job. Just concluded their season of providing dinner after dinner, Wednesday night after Wednesday night, feeding 150 to 185 people every Wednesday night. How would you like that to be your job? Whoa. And you know, it's not just about the food, it's about the sense of belonging that people find. I've had people tell me, hey, it was fun to kind of visit the church on Sunday, see what that's like, but then to come on Wednesday and just sit down with people, just have a meal, just talk for an hour and a half with people from Sunrise. Talk with pastors and lay people and every run around everybody. What a blessing that time is. They're going to kick it off again in the fall. For many of us, our first experience with church is actually in our family. It's actually in our home. For nearly a decade, the Columbia University research team studied the American family meal experience. How many of you would like to have contributed to that research, you know? Take a look at what happens around mealtime in your home. In 2006, Time magazine reported on those findings. Here's the bottom line. Kids who dine with their folks are healthier, happier, and better students. Do you want Johnny or Sally's grades to take a step up? Hey, how about one more family dinner night at home? We live in an age in which we can outsource so much of our parenting and development of our kids. I mean, there's soccer and there's baseball and there's guitar and there's ballerina and there's piano and there's, you know, scouts and karate and everything else. And there's some of that going on in our home, but you cannot outsource parenting. And friends, as good and as rich as all those experiences are for our kids, there is a place and there needs to be a place where they get integrated, and that place is called the kitchen table. And there are some integrators, and they're called mom and dad. So what did you learn, and what did you like, and what did you not like, and what are you going to do differently? Where does that conversation happen? Sense of belonging at home. My family got to live in Mexico for about 10 years, and in Mexico there's a saying about people who are really close. It is this, comen del mismo plato. Which is to say, it's as if they're so close that they could almost eat off the same plate. Has there ever been someone in your life for whom you could eat off their plate, they could eat off your plate, and it'd be fine? Friends, I'm just wondering if God isn't calling you to a new level of closeness with people where you might be able to say sometime in the future, hey, are you going to eat those pickles? Or you don't like the onions? Let me stick those on my sandwich. Hey, you're pulling out the sun-dried tomatoes out of your pasta? I love those. Belonging together. Friends, we aspire to provide inspiring, organized worship services here, but we need disorganized, casual, spontaneous, and yet no less inspiring meals together in our homes. So let me ask you, do you eat with folks from Sunrise? Do you have people from Sunrise in your home for a meal? And it could be a PBJ. By the way, I eat every day and I am available. Friends, there's something about it. I didn't write the Bible. It's in there. Something happens when people eat together. Look up. It's prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. My friend, if we want to experience a greater sense of belonging, we need to seek God's direction together. The church isn't a program. The church is relationships. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, Paul wrote, being watchful and being thankful. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Oswald Chambers was an evangelist and a teacher. He wrote, if you are a child of God, and there is some part of your circumstances which is tearing at you, if you are living in the heavenly places, you will thank God for the tearing things. If you are not in the heavenly places, you cry to God over and over again. Oh Lord, remove this thing from me. If only I could live in golden streets and be surrounded with angels and have the Spirit of God consciously indwelling me all the time and have everything wonderfully sweet, then I think I might just be a Christian. That is not Christianity at all. Friends, we Christians are the only people that we Christians can pray with. So do we pray together? Prayer reminds us who God is. Prayer reminds us who we are. So I'm just asking, when do you pray out loud with other people? How long from this moment going forward will it take for you to be the one in a conversation to just call for a pause and put your hand on someone's shoulder and say, let's just praise God for that. That your son got a job. That so-and-so is coming home for the summer. That the health report came out the way you were hoping. Or who will be the one to say, hey, let's take that to the Lord. Let's just turn that conversation into a prayer request. And Lord, we can pray right now. As God's been hearing us all along, we can pray. Sometimes it's all we can do. Sometimes it's the very best we can do. In the first century, they looked around and they met needs. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. This wasn't communism. Personal property was normal in the early church. This was a voluntary, caring response to need. The verbs to sell and for giving here in our passage here, those are iterative, imperfect verbs. They happen over and over. Everything about the gospel in Acts tells us that God's people are to take initiative in developing community, in serving those right around them. It's what Jesus had in mind when he says in John 13, 34 and 35, love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. If you love one another. Our belonging together has tremendous influence on our ability to bless others around us. Galatians 6:10 says, let us do good to all people. but especially to those who belong to the family of believers. How do you know if you belong? It's kind of a fuzzy standard. One indicator is that physical needs are met with compassion and with wisdom. Sunrise has a benevolence fund. Last year, Sunrise gave away over $65,000, providing people with marital counseling, car repairs, gas cards, paying rent, and paying utility bills. At Christmas, because of your generosity, we gave away over $20,000 in one-time gifts. Do you think it's fun to be a Sunrise pastor? Beyond the money, there's a team of people who work with people to decrease debt, to make life changes, to connect to ministries that can help other people become independent. We provided a woman who was homeless with a place to stay for about 3 nights and money to get an ID card. You can't really make your way in the world if you lose your identification. The story is involved. There's a lot to it. But by the end, she had found employment and a healthy place to live. If you've given to that benevolent fund, thank you. You are looking around and meeting needs. But friends, the bigger point here is that we don't have to do that through a formal offering at the end of a church service. We do that at Sunrise just by being us, our family and your family, your life group and your class. You might look around and see or hear about a physical need that God has already equipped you to meet. I want to be honest with you for just a moment. Here's a $100 bill. Someone asked, are those in the bulletin? Not in the bulletin. Yeah. For some of us, $100 is not a big number anymore. For some of us in this room, just the way our life has gone, and you've been diligent, and you've worked your job, and you've paid off your house, and you know your kids are going to be okay. You know, for all you can tell, it looks like you're going to outlive your money. You're going to be okay. And $100, it's not a big number. But for someone on the other side of the room, for someone on the other side of life, for someone just starting out, $100 is a huge number. It's a number that could mean that a 13-year-old cannot go to Hume Lake Christian Camp. Mom and dad are struggling. Student is struggling. Student is going to live 65 more years. And so I'm just wondering, what would it be like if we looked around and said, hey, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 5, 6 of us. We get together, families. We put in $100. We send someone to Hume Lake Christian Camp. We put someone in a place inside our youth group with an exposure to the ministry of Jesus Christ that could change their life for the rest of their lives. We say to people that may not even belong to Christ yet that you belong to us. We've been adopted and we can adopt you too. And we want you to go. We want you to make it. Friends, that's the work of the church. We take care of one another's physical needs. We take care of people's emotional needs. I want to ask you, are you a part of a small group that is entirely for you? Are you a part of a small group in which you do not have to practice impression management? Are you a part of a small group in which you can be not your preferred self, the self that you can get up there to be, but your authentic self? All the good things about you and victories and stuff, but also the challenges and weaknesses, foibles, idiosyncrasies, and all that stuff that you also have. Is there a place where you can be that and the people are still for you? 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, now to each one the manifestation of Spirit is given for the common good, for one another. Have you come to the place in your life where you have no secrets? Can you say, because of Jesus, there is no part of my life that I have not brought into the light and shared with other trustworthy, loving Christian friends? Or would you say, no, there are some things that are so deep and dark and such a struggle to get a handle on that I don't think I can bring those out. Friend, if that's the case, you may be hooked. You may be caught on shame or guilt or fear. And you may be, because of that dynamic, unable to fully belong to people as you so desire to be. So you've got to figure out whether in belonging to Jesus, you can also belong to Jesus' people. This week I had a great conversation with a Sunrise elder about our common quest for sexual integrity. We talked about ways we each struggle. Talked about where we get help. Talked about our hope in Christ. Talked about the power of a common community going the same direction. We love God. We love our wives. We love Sunrise. And we both want to honor God even more in our sexuality. How about you? What it means to belong to one another at Sunrise is that we look around and say, hey, is there a physical need our group could meet? Is there an emotional need that I could meet? God has given each one of us a manifestation of His Spirit, and it's for one another. Well, finally, friends, we look out and we evangelize, and we so need to remember this because we can have these warm groups, and they can be just so loving, and we can be all about one another, but if we don't remember that we are working for and serving people who don't belong yet, we can fall far short of what God desires. The text says they were praising God. They were enjoying the favor of all the people. These 3,000 folks had been added to their number, and the Lord was continuously adding to their number daily those who were being saved. Wow! Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Two thoughts on evangelism. You know, God does it. God's the one who quickens hearts. God brings conviction. God brings hope. Only God does the work of God, so we can relax. Ezekiel 38:23 says, "And so I will show my greatness and my holiness, and I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord." Second thought, He does it through us. 1 Peter 3:5 says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." And then this note, so important in our coarse culture today, but do this with gentleness and with respect. Friends, a key part to our witness is the depth of our connection with one another. And a key part to our connection is to be a loving witness to people who don't belong yet. A while ago, I went to the DMV. Yeah. It's not my favorite place. I was recently reminded, though, that the DMV is a great illustration of what the church can be. When you're sitting there in the DMV, you are immediately confronted with an immense cross-section of people. There's inevitably someone there who appears to be registering a brand new luxury car. And there's inevitably someone else there who seems disheveled. They may have not benefited from a shower recently or deodorant or any of the other things we'd like them to have had. And they have pressing physical needs. There's someone there who's a brand new driver, nervous and just trying to get it right. There's someone else there who's been driving for 50 years. Friends, that diversity can be uncomfortable. It could be the kind of thing in the natural that would send us all these different kinds of ways. But friends, when we have every reason to go this way and we end up loving one another, we can be sure that something powerful is at work, something called belonging. The fact that we belong to God and we belong to one another. 5 marks of the church. 5 experiences that God has designed you to have that unless I miss my guess, you and I long to have. There's a connection card in the seat back in front of you. Would you grab that and just hold it up and wave it around like that? It's our new air conditioning plan. Would you take out a pencil or a pen? And I just want to ask you about your experience. If you want a greater sense of belonging in your life, would you simply write a capital B on the back of your card? If you would like to have a much deeper sense of belonging with other Christians, would you write a capital B on the back of your card? Jot your name on the front, and you can drop these in baskets at the door after the service. Our staff will pray for you by name, and in the coming weeks and months, we will seek to connect you and resource you so that your sense of belonging will grow. Next week, we start a new message series, and it's called Us. It's about being God's people together. It's about belonging to God. It's about Jesus belonging to us. It's about us belonging to one another no matter what. Our Us series is based on the high point in Scripture for describing the majesty of spiritual community. It's Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I am so excited about it. I am so enjoying this already, and it's speaking to me about my life. We're going to take a look about what it means to be in a group. What it means that as a Christian, you're part of this group called the church. We're going to take a look at some skills about what it means to be good in a group. Have you ever been part of a group where someone just talked too much? Don't point any fingers. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're always good in a group. We're going to talk about what it means for all these different groups in our church, our very families, our life groups, our classes, the different Sunrise commissions and boards, staff teams, women's ministry, leadership team, men's ministry, leadership team, middle school and high school groups. All of those groups are as much the church as this setting is. The earliest Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and so do we at communion. Paul wrote that on the night of his betrayal, Jesus took bread, having given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you," plural. All y'all. Speaking to a group. "This cup is my blood. Do this," he said, "to remember me." So if you're not a Christian here today, I would just encourage you to kind of take a pass. Christians, use this time to examine our motives, to confess our sins to Christ, to receive his forgiveness, and to celebrate that Jesus has made us his so that we can be one. I'd encourage you to thank him for dying for you. Thank him for making a place for you in an imperfect community where you can grow up as a Christian. In a moment, what we'll do is I'll invite you to stand and you can make your way to any of these tables that have the elements. You can take the elements and bring them back to your seat. You're going to see other people doing the same thing. You're going to see people standing and walking around, and they are a part of this Lord's Supper. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions." All of them. "He was crushed for our common iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him." We're only an us because of what he did. And it's by his wounds that the people you're going to see stand and walk are healed. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die in our place. Thank you that every sin we've committed has been paid for in the cross at Calvary. Thank you for this time to remember, to express our gratitude, to say, "Search us, God. Know us. See in us and help us see in us. Help us confess whatever may not be right. We want to be yours. We want to belong to one another deeply and fully. Speak to us now of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen." Please serve yourself when you're ready. If you haven't taken the bread and the cup, would you join me in doing so now? Jesus, thank you for dying for us, that we would belong to you and that we could belong to one another and have a place, a network, a community, a spiritual home. Jesus, I pray that you'd help us to live reminded of what you've done, reminded of the value you placed on us, and reminded that you still seek and save those who are lost. And all God's people said, amen. Friends, you can pass those cups to an aisle where they'll be collected there. You can jot that B on the back of your card and jot your name on the front and drop those at the baskets at the door on the way out. My friends and I are available to pray for you if you'd like prayer in the front as well as in the back. My friend, I want you to remember, if you're in Jesus Christ, you belong to the group that is the hope of the world, the Church of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Amen. Have a great week.